I appreciate this opportunity to be here with you this morning and to speak on this important subject that's been spoken on each and every day this week. I was a little fearful of what Connie might say when he got up, being that he talked to my brother-in-laws. That's never a good thing. Thank goodness my wife was with me at another restaurant there. He would have really gotten the things about me. But certainly appreciate Connie and his work that he's done so many years. Certainly I feel that I've been blessed to be able to be introduced by Connie. And appreciate the invitation to be here to study with you on this most important subject. Brother Watts, in his lecture yesterday, this time slot, mentioned the lesson that it's very important in leadership to repeat, repeat, repeat. Well, my lesson today is going to be repeating, repeating, repeating what's already been said, and certainly be nothing new, but hopefully maybe some things to help us in our understanding of this important subject before us. And so we will do the best that we can and try to get everybody out at the appropriate time. I can certainly remember as a young boy growing up in a small town. Certainly that was a great blessing to grow up in a small town. But I grew up in a time in which your parents, grandparents, family members, cousins, everybody lived pretty close to one another. And certainly I feel very thankful that I was able to grow up where my grandparents were. I spent a lot of time with the older generation. I learned to listen, or maybe I should say betterly, my grandfather taught me how to listen if I didn't listen, and certainly had learned a great deal. They were role models, and I learned much from them. Job says in Job 32 and verse 7, he says, I said age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. One thing that too many generations today are missing is that very thing. Families are spread out. Nobody's close anymore, it seems like. And sometimes grandfathers and grandmothers have to travel to see the grandkids. And, we don't go to visit the kids. We go to visit the grandkids. And certainly that has hindered, I think, somewhat in the experience of growing up with grandparents teaching you those things that you need to know. The older generation has much to teach the younger. And I think life would be a lot easier for the younger if they would learn those wonderful lessons from those that are older. Now also, this same principle is true of the eldership. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Certainly, that's a very important thing to see. And Paul also told Titus to ordain elders in every church, as we have seen throughout this week. Men with certain qualifications were selected to lead, guide, direct, oversee, superintend the work of the church. And you know, brethren, as certainly have been stated throughout this week, juniors do not lead the church. And certainly that is a problem in many places. It is led by man who possesses the qualifications laid down in the Word of God. And in this study of elders, to me, as you look at the New Testament pattern, as they were told to ordain elders in every church, that within a short period of time of the existence of the New Testament church, they had elders. That's amazing if you think about it. We don't see years passing by and all these things. We just see men who were appointed shortly after the establishment of many churches. I think this tells us something about the qualifications of elders. The Bible does not require a man to have supernatural powers. Although I think sometimes some brethren, for the excuse not to have elders, use that in their regards in which they do not want elders to be appointed, but want their own say-so in the church. Sometimes we just make the qualifications too high. You know, in the New Testament time, as already mentioned in this series of lessons this morning, men were men. Men led their families. I did not grow up in a Lord's church. I'm merely a first-generation Christian in my family. But you know, my mother, my father, my grandparents, they were the kind of examples that I needed, even though they weren't Christians. My father led our house. There's no doubt about that. And there was no challenging of that at all. My grandparents were the grandfathers were head of their families. My uncles and all the ones who knew, they were the head of their household. That's just the way that it was when we were growing up. And certainly you can think in the New Testament time, that's the way it was too. Obviously, these qualifications that these men met, they already met them because that's the kind of people they were. They were the head of the household. They directed their families. And so they had these qualifications, you see, because that's the way they were in their daily walks of life. Now, of course, the opposite is true. We shouldn't lower the standards, you know, because no one meets those standards today either. We can't do that. But we need to do what the Scriptures teach. As already been mentioned, it's a failure in the homes. The church has not given proper emphasis to the eldership. The appointing of elders began, as has already been mentioned, from infancy, from childhood. And that's when we need to begin. And not just in the church, but also in the home, in the family. And you know, we have problems with families today. Families staying together, husbands being the head of their household. And of course, that's reflecting, I think, in the fact of the lack of leadership in the church. And you know, waiting till men become old enough to become elders, you've just simply waited too long. In the congregation I first preached in Cameron, Ohio, an old country congregation, 1886, I think, was the establishment on the building, and I was the first full-time preacher that was ever preached in that congregation. One of the elderly members who must have had it handed down to him was the song leader, quote-unquote, the song leader. And he was the song leader till he died. And somebody else is going to be the song leader after he died. And, of course, we changed some of those things. But, you know, that's the thinking of a lot of people. You just wait till they get there, and then they're somehow magically going to have those qualifications. And this kind of reminds me of a scripture taken from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. Most of the scriptures I'll be reading will be from the New King James, and I think they're all in the manuscript. It says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your homes or your house and your gates." You know, brethren, this is where it begins. This is where the training for eldership begins, is in the home, in the family, and fathers who are fathers and not missing, and are the head of the house, and are training and directing their children as they should. Children learn from what they see in the home. Children learn either to love and respect God is because they love and respect their parents and understand the authority, or if they do not learn that at home, they do not learn it when they get older either or in the church either in that respect. So it's an important work for all of us to be doing. I'd like to turn with and get this thing going here. Some of the Greek words, and I'm just going to go through each one of these charts. I should have had them all come up at once. And we'll not be looking at every word. I was kind of sweating a little bit with Brother Roberts. I think he did a better job than on the word studies than I'll be presenting. And really, I'm not going to look at every one of these words. I just like to look at some of the highlights of these words. And the first word of elder means, of course, as we understand, that of age. And also, it is a term or rank of office. And then we see the examples that Thayer lines out for us in that relationship. Then also, another translation, elderly, old, as a noun or a senior, and it's talked as those in the Sanhedrin. Also, elders or men of old, or older men, or older ones, and also it's used of older women. But notice to that very point, the feminine of the adjective is used of elderly women in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 2, not in respect to position, but in seniority of age, and not in the fact of a leadership of the church. Also, I would like to notice in relationship to these definitions, I think maybe it's on the next slide, especially this idea that the latter term indicates the nature of their work. And maybe it's not on that one. No, we're getting too far ahead now, bishops. But anyhow, I'd like to notice that idea. The latter term indicates the nature of the work. We want to understand in relationship to all these words that are used, and they're descriptive of what the man is doing. They are not titles. And you know, in the religious world today, we just love to wear titles. And being preachers, I'm sure all preachers have gone through this, you know, some way calls you, want to call you reverend. No, I'm not reverend. Okay, well, pastor, you know, and of course, as I mentioned, my wife, since I'm an elder now, I guess I am a pastor. But I still don't think they're using it correctly, of course, and I still have problems with it. I try to correct them so they understand that this is not a title. It's a description of an office that someone's hold. It's the work that we do. And there are no places in the Lord's church. You know, as we all know, this is the highest office that is given in the Lord's church, and it's only over the local church. And it's not over all the churches as we see this idea of Catholicism has taught over the years. And also, Vine tells us that this word elder is nowhere applied to angels. I thought perhaps that was an important thing to look at. Now also the next word that is used in relationship to bishop once again describes for us the idea of the office, that is the work that one is to do. And notice one of the first of all is the investigation, inspection, and visitation. Oversight, office, charge of an office, an elder. And so this is the idea of the word bishop. Now, also, this idea is to look or to watch. And so the idea, an elder, in another term for the same person as bishop or overseers, the term elder indicates the mature spiritual experience and understanding of those so described. Then also, according to divine will and appointment, as in the New Testament, there are to be bishops in every local church. And, of course, as we know, Christ himself is spoken of as the chief bishop or the bishop of our souls. And so this is simply the use of these words. And then, of course, the next word is pastor that's used in the New Testament. And we'd like to notice those words also with you this morning once we get through all of them. And you can read these in your lecture book. They're there. And I didn't really want to spend a lot of time with this. I'm not a Greek scholar. I wasn't sure what Mike wanted when he said this. There should have been someone else chosen if we want to use just the Greek terms or the Greek words. But this particular word, pastor, deals with one, a man charged with the duty saying that things to be done by others are done rightly, a curator, a guardian, or superintendent, one to oversee the work. Too often, elders are ones who do the work as opposed to oversee the work of the church. And it's not the responsibility of the elders or the bishops or the pastors, as we see here, to do that very thing. It is they have the opportunity to shepherd. As it says here, one who tends herds a flock, not merely feeds them. And, of course, we know that that's used metaphorically. So this is one who pastors over the flock, tend the flocks, exercises the oversight, and tend or care, or the idea of a superintendent. Now, also I'd like to share with you a couple of passages, being that sometimes brethren, you know, want to say that we either no longer need elders, or perhaps we have a misunderstanding of leadership in relationship to the church, how there can be such an enormous amount of material speaking about an office or position, and that office not existing, just really begs the issue when we think about this situation. But I'd like to notice just a few passages here from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12 to show the absolute importance of leadership. God has known this from the very beginning, and God has chosen leaders throughout history, both Old and New Testament. In Isaiah 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." And maybe this is a warning of today in one of our lectures, speaking of those in relationship to women also already in our lectures. And then he says, "O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the ways of your paths." And then also Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable is the head, the prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still outstretched." And that shows the graciousness of our God, who is always willing to extend the hand of mercy to his people. And then also a couple other passages, we'll not read all of them, but in Jeremiah, as he speaks about the prophet who lies and gives false divinations, and how he leads the people off. And the end of that verse, he says, "Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets will be consumed." And so they indeed will be destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. And then in Ezekiel 3:13, verses 3 through 9, it says, "Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." And certainly the lack of leadership was one of the very reasons why Israel fell and went into captivity. And certainly to say that the church today does not need leadership is certainly a misunderstanding of biblical principles and teaching throughout the Scriptures. The church needs leadership, and it's a very important process that God has given to the church. Now, instead of spending my time on all of these definitions of the Greek, which I'm not a scholar of, I thought to perhaps to make some practical applications to these terminologies, and this is what we'll be spending most of our time on. It's just some of the practical applications of the terms. And when I study the Word of God or when I preach, I try to get things down to the simplest words and ideas. I can understand them that way, and I think perhaps it helps others to understand also these principles. Now, Titus begins in Titus 1 and verse 15 or 5. He says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking." And once again, that shows us that leadership is important because something was lacking in the churches. And then he says, "Appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you." Now, you know, this scripture is as applicable today as it's always been. There simply is no lack in relationship to this. That is, men qualified to become elders. I've heard it said, and like I said, I'm a first-generation Christian, so I depend a lot on those who've gone on before and listened to their wisdom and wise words, that there's only one thing worse than not having elders, and that is having unqualified elders. And so it is an important task, you see. And God has instructed by inspiration the necessity of elders. As he says, "Appoint in every city as I commanded you." Now, for brethren to say today, "Well, this is not necessary, we don't need those," or there's a misunderstanding of the scriptures, it's just hard for me to fathom how that is possible. Anyone that makes such an observation, of course, I think is making a false claim. God gave qualifications for elders in Timothy and Titus, and I think there's undisputed evidence in the scriptures that there needs to be elders in every church. Now also, one of the reasons, and this has also been discussed, is a lack of preparation for young men to serve. And in a sense, the churches have failed in our responsibility, but brethren, we can't help but also notice the home has failed in its responsibility too. There needs to be both in the home and in the church. And certainly this is as needed today as it's ever been. And we need to start training men when they're young, very young. We need to teach and encourage them to prepare themselves to be elders. Just as we, you know, in case they want to go to school, can go to school, right? And they can make up their mind whether they're going to school or not. No, we teach our children they've got to go to school, they've got to get an education, they've got to understand those things for their career. But how often do we put such emphasis on training these same young people to become elders in the Lord's church? And to get them to study and to think about these things, you see. I know that some of the churches, Brother Edwards, where he preaches, and there's others that I'm not aware of, but I don't want to say that there aren't others, so I'm sure there are, but they spend the time training young men to preach the gospel. Wonderful, wonderful training program, and it's very much needed. But you know, brethren, maybe we need classes to train men, too, to become elders and leaders in the Lord's church. We need to train them, and it would be good, as already has been suggested, that elders take a part in that training, too, of training these young men, directing them and guiding them to become elders. But another aspect of this in relationship when we talked about elders are young ladies. And young women need to be the kind of women that could be an elder's wife. And you know, sadly to say, this is one of the qualifications that's, and it's been another lessons, that's been lacking in the church. And you know, there's a lot of young ladies, they are the reason that their husbands are not qualified to be elders. And that's pretty sad, isn't it, when you really think about it? And so this is an area that we need to have some foresight into. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. If you have your Bibles, you can open them there, or it is also in the lecture book. 1 Peter 3, beginning verse 3, he says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing a gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person heart with an incorruptible beauty of a quiet and or gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women," isn't that interesting? "The holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." There is one ingredient that's missing in relationship as we're talking about these terms and relationship to elders are good, godly women. And we need that in the church. I had three girls, no boys, three girls. Maybe the Lord knew I needed girls to raise. As I've seen some of the boys growing up, I told my wife it's probably a good reason that I didn't have boys because I probably would have killed them. but I've learned a lot with daughters, too, and things that I didn't know. And this is an important job, is training young ladies to be Christians, to be preachers' wives and elders' wives. We need to train them to do that. That's such an important thing. And to adorn that inward person, not the outward person, but adorn the true person. And young women today, and I think the feminist movement has had certainly some part in this, but there's too much adorning of the outward person. And young ladies need to be taught and understood that, you know, there's a lot of good-looking women. And if looks is all there is, then they've got to, you know, there's just a huge competition there in that relationship. And if that's all men's looking for, you're also going to have a serious problem, too, because that's not going to be the kind of woman that you want to raise your children and to help you be qualified to become an elder. You know, in our society, it seems like it is necessary, and it's just one of those necessary evils that young ladies get an education, help out in the family, in relationship to the economy, because our economy is so bad, a lot of women have to work and to provide for the home, and that's good. We tried to instruct our girls to get an education. Our oldest one got about a year, and that's all she wanted, and she wanted to be a mother, and that's what she is a mother. And we support her in that. That's certainly the way it ought to be. You know, all young ladies ought to be able to grow up to be mothers. I've noticed throughout this week of the wonderful young ladies that we have in this group and how much they care for their babies and taking care of them, certainly that's a wonderful example that we have. But also, ladies need to understand, and this is part of training, that just because you get a job and an education, that doesn't make you the co-head of the house. And that's also been talked about throughout the week. Being in subjection, that is a woman being subjection to her husband, is not just a good idea. Brethren, it is a commandment that has to be obeyed. And those who do not obey that commandment are in sin. And they need to understand that they've got to do that. It is sin, and it is the kind of sin that will cause them to lose their souls. And also, we need to understand, and I'm not sure if we're going to get on this chart, also, I wanted to speak a little bit about godly women's influence in the home. You know, they have a great influence in the home. And women who are in subjection to their husbands set the proper kind of example for their daughters so that they can learn and understand. And also, this can be a good influence on men because young men can see and look at mom, and when she's the kind of Christian that she ought to be, and things of God are the most important thing in her life, and her service to God. And so when a young man's thinking about being married and having a wife, then he's looking for someone by that wonderful example that he's been taught in his home. And young men, don't ever settle for less. We need to have godly mothers and godly women in the Lord's church. And they have, in most cases, women have the greatest influence on the children. They are with them most of the time. And what they do by their example is such a great influence in the church today. Where would many of us, or all of us, be, especially as men, without good godly parents and godly mothers and grandmothers? You know, there's been occasions, as in the scriptures, that a mother and a grandmother raised a righteous young man who became a preacher. Paul's one who he mentored, who he considered as his own son. And it was the mother and grandmother that influenced that young man, you see. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, it says, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." What a wonderful duty that these women have. And we need that in the Lord's church today. If our time in which we live needed anything, it is the influence of godly mothers in the family and in the home. There's just such a need for this, you see, in the Lord's church. They have a great work in the Lord's church. I know that it's not a work of leadership, quote unquote. We had an elderly sister who's no longer at the congregation, but she would say many times that she appreciated the fact that the Lord didn't put the women in the business meetings. She just didn't want to do that. She didn't want to have part of that. And she thanked God that, He had given to the men. And being in some of the business meetings I've been in over the years, I can see that wisdom too, that there needs to be elders directing the Lord's church. But even though these women have not been given a leadership role in the church, I believe personally, by having a godly mother and influence of a wonderful wife and my mother-in-law, I've just been well blessed beyond what I deserve in that relationship. But godly women play a great role in the Lord's church and in the training of elders and the bringing up the kind of men that we ought to be. And, you know, we need to admit as men, we can't do it. Men aren't wired that way. They're just not wired that way, that the way that the ladies are. And we need to thank God in His wisdom in that relationship. Older women need to teach the younger women, to instruct them. It's not that way at all places, but certainly we need that. And you know, when we talk about the family or the home, divorce is really getting to be a real hindrance in having unified families. And that's having its effect in the Lord's church. Children are torn between two families, not belonging to either, and such an environment cannot possibly raise good leaderships in the home. And you know, the Lord said, "I hate divorce," and I agree with God completely. I hate divorce. I've had an occasion of a brother who had a scriptural grounds to divorce his wife, but we helped him and went through it. Sometimes I felt like he was our own son, and he does call my wife mother, and we're very close. He has a wonderful wife now, but let me tell you, I wasn't sure I was going to get through that process. and it was awful. And it is awful. I understand why God hates divorce. And what gets me is why brethren want to spend so much time on an exception. You know, when Jesus was questioning about the Jews, and they questioned him about it, and they thought they had the Lord tricked, saying, why did Moses allow it? Notice what Jesus said to them. From the beginning it was not so. God says one man, one woman for life. That's the way it needs to be. And we need to quit spending time on exceptions and trying to excuse people. And we need to teach what the Scripture says. God hates the divorce, and we need to teach that in the churches, because that will go a long way in having the kind of men that we need. Elders must have good wives, but of course when we say that, all members ought to have good, godly women, and preachers definitely need good, godly women. I don't know what I'd do without my wife as a gospel preacher, and being able to be the one that I talk to and helps me through things. And certainly she knows all the secrets, and I thank God she's not going to give them up either. That's an important process of this work, and it's got to be in relationship to elders. And you know, they're the ones that help raise good children. And brethren, the good children are the backbone of the church. That's the church of the future. That's where we need to put our emphasis, and I think throughout this week it's been put there. Godly women provide a quality of love and compassion that young men need to see, and young women need to follow in that example. Now also, as we continue, I know I'd forget something. I'd like to notice here the names used for elders in the New Testament, and in this relationship it defines for us something of the work or duty of men who are elders. The work and duty, that's what it is. It's not a title, it's a work and a duty that we have in relationship that God has given us, and certainly has had the wisdom in doing that. And as we look here at this word elder, the idea is that includes the idea of an older person. So this is very important, and it has been covered throughout this week how it's important that we have those who are older. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6 tells us, he says, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. The wisdom that elders are to have, and not to be of a worldly nature, but they are to have a wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Colossians 1 and 28 says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. As the speaker before me pointed out, and I thought very well, this is where this work is important, that we've got to preach Christ. We've got to preach the whole counsel of God. And the reason for that is, as we all know, for the savings of the soul. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's what it's all about. We see God's wisdom in wanting mature men to do this, who are full of wisdom, to lead and direct the church, as this particular word identifies for us in relationship to elders. And also, we normally identify this wisdom with older age. And in the book of Job, and I think I have that on there too, Job chapter 12 and verses 12 through 13, says, wisdom is with aged men, and with the length of days understanding. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. And you know, understanding is the basis of wisdom. And as already has been pointed out, as I said, repetitive, and that is study, study, study. Any young man preparing himself to preach the gospel study. And you'll do a whole lot better than spending your time trying to settle all the affairs of the brethren in the church. Spend your time studying the Word of God. For me, I had to, and I was at 4 years at Florida College. I didn't have the background, and there were some good men there that has really helped me enormously in my preparation to preach the gospel. And that's the message that we need to teach today, is that we must make that preparation. We must study. In Proverbs chapter 2, in verses 1 through 5, it says, "My son, if you receive my word and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, if you'll seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." That's what we need in leadership. And normally, since God has given this qualification, that should come with age. So to get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, one must have a strong desire to achieve this in his life. Notice in this what we just read, it says, "Incline your ear, apply your heart, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice, seek as silver, search for her." Teaches us how much work it is to become a mature Christian. And it takes a mature Christian, you see, to be elders. That's what the Lord wants in his church. Now also, the word bishop, also, once again, as we see, this particular word carries it with the idea of the work undertaken. And that is the work of that of oversight of the work of the local church. This is such an important thing, and we need to understand that. And this overseeing the work of the church is taking the responsibility of seeing that the local church fulfills the work God intended. Someone needs to oversee that. And that is such an important work in the church. And we'll be talking, I think, tomorrow about deacons. And there is so much work when it comes to being an elder in the Lord's church that deacons are indeed a blessing to help you do that work. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do the work. And so that's the duty of those who are elders in the Lord's church. And also, overseeing the work is serious business. Those who exercise oversight have the responsibility of the souls that they're overseeing. You know, if elders lose sight of that, they've lost sight of their work. They've lost sight of what God has charged them with, and that is the keeping of the souls. And brethren, we've just got to do that. You can't take away from that charge that God has given in relationship to the church. Am I going backwards again? I think I am. The slides. Okay, maybe now we'll get the next one. Also, the idea is the word shepherd, pastor, describes for us the kind of overseeing that's necessary for one to be a pastor. Sheep, have to have water, food, and protection. This is one thing that is necessary for those who are shepherds to make sure that the sheep are safe. Now, as we look at it from a scriptural standpoint or a spiritual standpoint, this is the work that those who pastor have to do. Souls need to drink from the fountain of eternal life. They need to partake of the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. They need to be able to identify that which is evil. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, remember that scripture? He says you have need once again for someone to teach you. You see, we've got to instruct, we've got to guide, and overseers have the grave responsibility of seeing that the sheep know what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, the Lord said, lest Satan should take an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And you know, some people say ignorance is bliss. When it comes to spiritual thing, ignorance is never bliss, because we can get caught by that evil one. That's why Peter calls him a roaring, lying lion. And that's certainly what he does. And as well, those who labor and work in the Lord's church, we know the devil is very good at the work that he does in the getting of the souls. Souls need to drink from that fountain, and they need, you see, to know the Word of God. That's our duty as elders, and certainly that overlaps with some of the duties of even those who preach the gospel. Now, I'd like to notice some observations in relationship to elders in their duty to God. Notice here with me, if you would, the idea of taking heed is to realize the importance of this office. Elders must be men who are always willing to examine themselves according to the Bible to see if they're following the faith. Of course, preachers need to. Every member needs to examine ourselves, but we need to examine ourselves. You know, if the position of elder is more of a title, then men probably aren't going to examine themselves as well as they ought to and see if they're right or wrong, and this would be lacking. But those who are leaders, you see, that the Lord wants, He wants them to check themselves and make sure that they're doing what the Bible says. They're to be guided by the Word of God. It says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. That's what it's all about in relationship to these duties that we have, is preparing people to do these things. Elders need to be an example to the flock that they're overseeing. This is such an important work. How in the world are we going to lead if we're not examples? And we've got to be examples to those that we lead. We've got to be examples of what fatherhood is. And we know that from the qualifications. They need to know what a true father is. And elders have that responsibility to see, to show what fatherhood is and what it means to be the head of your house and raise your children, instruct them in the way of the Lord so that others may see and understand in their lives. They're to be a good example of a husband. And, you know, some of these young ladies that I've seen and observed throughout this week, some of you men who are the husbands might be well advised to find someone to do a little babysitting and take her out somewhere and do something special for her and show her how much you love her and let her know and give her attention and thank her for raising your children and being a good wife and a good example and someone that would help you in your work, because that's the most important thing that there is. Also, elders must be able to teach, and that's already been talked about throughout this week. The duty of eldership is to be found as a good example of faithfulness. You know, I've heard of occasions, those who served as elders, and sometimes they're missing from the assemblies, and sometimes they just don't show up. And maybe they go on vacation from the church and from the Lord, and they forget to worship and to do those things. And how in the world are we going to be able to teach others faithfulness if we're not faithful? And let alone, who's going to listen to us in that relationship if we're not faithful in our work in relationship to the Lord's church? Now also, when members see elders being good workers, then they will follow that example too. And we need to be good workers. And that's another important thing in relationship to the work that's ours. And also, elders need to set for the church the example of being peacemakers. You know, it's easy to get people stirred up, but we need to learn how to make peace in the Lord's church. We need to learn how to keep brethren together. And, you know, there's a lot of problems, as we all well know, in the church today, of things that are matters of opinion that brethren are now starting to make matters of doctrine, dividing the churches. And you know, we got along well before anybody made great issues of these things. And we need to get back to that. And in the local church, it's so important to see men working these things out for the very purpose of making peace in the church and not having confusion. And in summary, I think this is important for all of us to remember, to let people know that elders is a high calling, and a Christian man needs to receive this with joy. It's a high calling. And as already been mentioned, it's difficult for me to understand, but there are men who are just not willing to serve. And that's difficult to really comprehend and understand. Why wouldn't you want to take on the single highest calling and most important work in relationship to the local church that God has given? You ought to receive it with joy. It's an honor to be chosen. Every male child needs to set this as a true goal in his life, to serve with honor the most important work in the Lord's church. And then finally, our Bibles tell us that those who serve as elders, as we've already mentioned, will receive double honor. And so it's very important for us to achieve this in our lives. So I appreciate your attention this morning, and that's it.